Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. Tyler Wall here, and today we are continuing this series of road trips called Shine Your Light, where we talk to different people in different career fields as they navigate both their faith and their careers. My guest today is Teddy White. Teddy is a golf and basketball coach and teaches high school math here in Tipton, Oklahoma, but has also worked in many different career fields such as the Postal Service, as a house parent at the Tipton Children's Home, and as a football referee. Today on the show, we discuss the role our careers play in shaping our faith, what it's like being a Christian in different career fields, and advice for young adult Christians starting out their new careers. Buckle up, everyone. This is Road Trips. All right, Teddy White, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tyler. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. So you've worked in many different career fields and probably came across all different kinds of people and situations. So I just want to start out by asking, how did all of those jobs and careers shape your faith and your relationship with God?
Well, I would say, first of all, as most people, my life took a lot of changes from the time I graduated from high school as opposed to what I thought it would end up being like. But I have worked in several different fields and vocations or advocations that I enjoyed all of them. I wouldn't change a thing about the jobs that I had. And when we think about carrying our Christianity forward from job to job, it really doesn't matter to me what field I was in, because they all have different challenges. And they all have different rewards. When you think about maintaining your Christianity, trying to be a light in this world, I would say some of the careers or decisions I made that one might think, well, that's probably an ungodly place to work. And in most cases it was, but it would surprise you versus the places that you might think, well, that would be a godly situation or a godly place to work. It might surprise you as to my thoughts about working in those environments or being in those situations. I've always felt like wherever you're at, I don't know that it's where you're supposed to be, but if that's where you find yourself ending up, that you have to make the best of it. I can remember this was always a Christian thing, even though I didn't think about it at the time that way. About my first real career was working for the post office, and it was hard physical work. And after about 8 years of doing that, I was coming home every day in a bad mood, not only because I felt bad physically, but I just didn't feel like I was going anywhere in my career and that it wasn't taking me anywhere. And I wasn't achieving what I thought I was capable of doing or deserved to be or whatever. And I finally just told myself, and maybe my wife, Dia, may have said something too, but I finally told myself, you know, you can be happy anywhere. And all you're worried about is paying your bills anyway. So you can be happy in any job. And I decided at that point to make even though it was a hard job, which was carrying mail every day and walking about 15 miles a day, I decided to make the most of that and enjoy what I could out of the job and realize it's just a job. It's just a means to help pay your bills. And yet, ultimately, you're looking for a way to go to heaven. And you can do that from the post office or anywhere else. So some of the places and situations I found myself in, it would surprise you the way you can make it those situations better. I've always felt like if you love God first, that everything else fits into your life, into your decisions, that really it's a lot harder to make bad decisions if you're putting God first and if you love God. So that's the way I looked at it when I worked at the post office, when I was a house parent, when my advocation, which was refereeing football for 25 years. And then when I decided to go back to education or to go into education and be a teacher and a coach, everything I did, I always felt like if you love God first, that the love for your family, the love for your job and your love for other people will just follow right along. If your priorities are correct, I really always felt like that your faith will develop or if it's not, if they're not correct, then your faith will shrink. So it doesn't really matter where you work, but I've worked a lot of places, and I've tried to make the most of each one of them.
Yeah, I like what you said about, you know, jobs just kind of being a means to an end. Do you think, have you noticed, you probably noticed this working in the schools, it seems like there's a really big focus on our careers nowadays, and it is a big part of our lives. But do you think sometimes, even as Christians, we place too much of a focus on our careers, especially as younger adults?
Well, I do, and a lot of it's because as young, whether you're a young person or a young married person, I mean, you have bills to pay, and some of it may be a priority, like your priority is to be rich. Well, if that's your priority, you might make it, but you might not make heaven. So I think that plays a lot into it. I think it's easy to fall into the trap of, I've got to have a bigger, nicer car or bigger, nicer house. And the reality is as I've gotten older, and as I get older, I realize that those things don't mean a whole lot. If you asked me to live at the lake in a tent, I'd probably do that and be just fine with it as long as the weather held up. No, I think definitely that's the case, especially for young people as they're making decisions. I think in education, I mean, I'm in education. I don't go around telling all the kids that I teach, hey, you need to be a teacher. You need to be a teacher, because I think a lot of them are suited for other things. But again, whether as long as they can make the most of what it is they're doing, especially in a godly way, I think they're fine with it. I mean, they'll be fine with that in the end. But it's only going to be fulfilling if God is first and they're living their lives accordingly. It doesn't matter to me what you do. I don't think less of people who have menial jobs, or I don't think more of people who are high rollers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I also love what you said about, you know, God's love just kind of being the filter of what we do everything by, and loving God. And you can do that in the profession that you're in, and you don't have to have this worry about, am I going to make it? Am I going to get this great job or this dream job that I want? Our main focus as Christians is to love God and to love others. So speaking of love, you also did a little football refereeing in your day. And so you probably had a good opportunity to love your enemies. I'm just going to guess. What has being a referee taught you, if anything, about your faith? And was it difficult at times to shine your light in such a high stress, high energy environment?
Well, that's an interesting question. I would say that being a referee, almost everyone is your enemy when you're refereeing. I mean, and of course, I mostly did
so
football.
True.
It is so true. Yeah, I mostly did football, so it's a little easier in football because the fans are further away from you. But ultimately, I mean, one side or the other feels like, you know, we were cheated on that call, or that referee doesn't like us, or those referees don't like us, or whatever. And in most cases, that's usually not the case. Very seldom, if any, have I ever found a referee that actually was just there to cheat. I mean, it has happened, but just like one in, you know, 20,000 or however many that you might see. Most of the referees, officials, whatever they're doing, they're there to enforce the rules and do so evenly. And to me, you know, refereeing, we did it, you know, two or three times a week at night. It was an avocation more than a vocation. So we weren't as invested as the referees were, and maybe even some of the fans, but we always wanted to make sure that everything we did, we kept it fair and tried to know the rules and enforce the rules evenly. I think probably the biggest compliment you can get as a referee is when you have a team and you're refereeing that team on the road, and they will say to you, man, we're sure glad to see you here tonight because we know we're going to get a fair shake. That doesn't mean they're going to get all the calls. All they knew is they weren't going to get cheated that night because they were on the road. And that was important to us as a crew. And I think it's just like anything else, a family, a marriage, or whatever. If you find the right person or people to surround yourself with, and that's true about refereeing. I mean, we were a crew of five when I refereed. It actually started out with three and four referees on a crew. But when I left, we had five people on a crew. If you have a good crew and good referees around you, you usually don't have any problems. I know this is a little bit of a side note of what we're talking about, but I actually refereed football for 25 years, and I think we only had to kick one kid out for fighting. and we only had to write one coach up. Ironically, it was the same school, but it was actually two different, it was years apart from each other. But in 25 years, we only had to kick one kid out, and we only had to write up one coach. And really, it was the reason we never had to do that is because we were always not only being fair, but we would get in the middle of stuff before it became a big issue. And that, you know, that's a lesson in refereeing, but it's also a lesson in our life. If you can get a hold of things before they get out of control, then you can usually keep them from getting to be big things.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. And I've never met anyone that was real eager to become a high school referee. And I've had many conversations with a lot of different people about, you know, refereeing. And I think nowadays, you know, especially with social media, like you can't watch a college or NFL game without, you know, looking at Instagram or Facebook and reading. Well, it was because of the refs. It was because of the refs. But anyway, what an interesting way to, and it kind of goes back to what you were saying in the first question, like in any job or any, I guess, side job you have, you can still shine your light and you can still show love to others. And by doing that, you're showing love to God. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And I probably didn't touch on it enough, but when I was actually working at the post office, which of all the places I've worked, you would probably think that would be the most ungodly place to work. And not that it's thought of as being ungodly. I'm just saying you're not working at a children's home that's sponsored by a church. You're not working at school where you're around a lot of people you go to church with or whatever. And I actually always worked in a different town than where I live. So that made it where I didn't really know a lot of the people going in. But a place that you would think might be the most ungodly, I probably had more conversations about God at the post office and anywhere else. I remember early in my career, I had, like I mentioned, I was a city carrier. And so every morning we were preparing mail. It took us about an hour and a half to get our mail ready to go out on the street. And I was surrounded by a couple of guys that would go to church on Sundays, and they would always have questions, or they would come up with comments, and not really rude comments, but they would try to trap me into things about my thought process on the Bible. And always had a good comeback. And actually, I worked with a janitor who was actually a preacher, and I forget what denomination he was preaching at, but probably one of the most interesting conversations I ever had in a workplace was with him about the Godhead. So that was eye-opening to me, and I think I was eye-opening to him as well, but I learned a lot just talking to him. So I guess even though a post office, you would think, well, that's not the place you're going to get to go to heaven, ended up being a place where I probably learned or thought more about God than any other place. I think the post office was the place that caused me the most challenges as a Christian, partly because I was there the longest. I worked there 25 years as well. It pretty much coincided with my refereeing. But I mean, I had opportunities. I had opportunities because after I carried mail, I got into management and I traveled a lot. And I was gone a lot. And when you're away from home, you know, you ask yourself, am I going to church tonight? When you normally would anyway, it's just standard. You're going to go to church tonight. Well, you have to answer that question when you're away from home. Am I going to go somewhere tonight where I shouldn't go? I mean, that question might come up. You know, you might be asked by somebody that you're working with there or whatever. And so I found that the challenges were greater in the post office than anywhere else, but they're also the most rewarding, because anytime you overcome a challenge or a question, if you ask yourself that, and you make the right answer, then you've just proceeded to strengthen your faith in God.
Yeah, and I think that goes a lot to show the importance of prayer and asking God, you know, give me eyes to see, give me opportunities to shine my light, to spread the gospel even. And I think you kind of hit on that, the importance of, you know, seizing those opportunities when you have that opportunity to have that spiritual conversation, to take advantage of that and to act on that, because we're given opportunities in our lives and in our jobs all the time to have a conversation, to shine the light of the gospel, to be ambassadors of Jesus, whatever you want to call it. But it's up to us as Christians to take advantage of that.
Exactly.
So before you worked in education, you worked as a house parent here in Tipton. I have a feeling that's something that not a lot of people know about. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say about that. This is kind of a two-part question. what were some spiritual values that you wanted to teach during your time as a house parent, and how did that grow your faith?
Well, when my wife and I, it was at the end of my postal career and before I became an educator, we were actually house parents out at the children's home. And I would say this, there's probably not a harder job in the world than that job. I remember thinking, wow, this is going to be easy. You just raise 6 girls or 8 girls or whatever, and they're little girls, so they're not going to cause you any problems. And everybody's going to get along at the children's home, and the house parents all are going to love each other, and everything's going to be easy. The longer you do it, it doesn't take long, but the longer you do it, the more you realize it's probably the most difficult job that you can ever have. I can't think of a job that would be harder than that. And yet at the same time, I can't think of a job that would be more rewarding than that job. Dee and I had, like I said, 6 to 8 girls that lived with us. We had already raised 3 kids, so we're thinking, well, we know how to do this parenting thing. And yet you soon realize that a lot of what we used on our own kids didn't work on the girls that we were trying to raise out at the children's home. And we couldn't treat them the same. We couldn't discipline them the same. We couldn't say the same things to them, so it made it more of a challenge. And I think you learn to adapt. And I think yet at the same time, you just maintain your Christianity so that the girls or boys, whatever you're raising, can see that in you and hopefully want to emulate that, if nothing else. I mean, obviously we had devotionals and study time and opportunities to allow them to grow. But I think more than anything, and I think this is true with any aspect of your life, if you're trying to live a Christian life and people ask, why is he living that way or why is she living that way, then they're going to want to be a part of that. The most rewarding job we ever had was the hardest one, and that's being a house parent. And yet, Dee and I were able to adopt 2 girls from that job. We actually are still raising 2 girls that we adopted from the children's home, and having them has been a blessing in our life, and hopefully we've been a blessing to them, and we've tried to raise them in the right way so that they can end up at heaven. And just been, that part's been really rewarding for us.
Yeah. So, essentially I think what you were saying is you were trying to be the godly example to them. And, kind of like how Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's kind of what you were trying to do and trying to get at.
Exactly. And a lot of the girls that came to us had been not all of them had been abused, but a lot of them had, and their lives had been so different than our kids that we had raised, that the things they needed were just love. And to me, that example of how to live, they had probably been promised a lot in their life before then. And not all of them were this way, but some of them had been living lives that were just unthinkable for us. And so when they come to you and they're broken down in that regard, really all you can do is love them and then show an example for them to follow, because they don't hear anything else. So I think if you love them first and then you show them a way to live a life that's better than what they see from others, then maybe they want to be a part of it then.
Yeah. And starting with love is such an important thing. Of course, it's, kind of the main thing as Christians, because I assume you're trying to instill in them these Christian values, and ultimately, you're probably wanting to make disciples, but you probably can't start just by opening up the Bible and saying, all right, here we go. We're going to start reading Genesis. We're going to read all the way through Revelation. It's a different process, right? I'm sure with them as you would, because to your point, they're not, your kids or I was raised in how so many others were raised growing up in the church, where it was just kind of expected and it was just kind of a daily thing. It was just a part of your life. This is like a whole new foreign thing to these kids.
Well, and some of them had no idea what even a Bible was. And then of course, some of them were young enough that they couldn't read. So that didn't help any good. That didn't do any good just to open the Bible. Really, the greater point is that a lot of them, they didn't know about God and certainly didn't know about the Bible and didn't know how to live, because they weren't around people who actually lived. Now, some of them were, but a lot of them weren't around people that actually lived a Christian life so that they can see that.
Yeah, it's a ministry is what it is. It's a It's a good ministry and a good mission field to be a part of. So I guess last question, but it's kind of a two-parter. If you could go back to your young adult self, because you've just had so many experiences, and so you probably have some things that you would maybe tell yourself, just going back to your young adult self when you were just beginning your career, getting married, starting a family, what would you tell yourself, and what would you tell any young adult as they're in this stage of life?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to where they want to work and who they want to spend their life with, because a lot of us feel like we have to get married, even though it's ironic that the Bible teaches that you don't have to get married to be successful. But I think it's important, because Paul tells us if you're going to do it right. And so I think the greatest advice I can give you is a little bit unfair for me to give, because I was really lucky in who I got to marry. Not just my childhood sweetheart, but I mean, not just my high school sweetheart, but all the way through school. And I grew up with my wife, and I knew whenever it came time to get married that she was going to help me go to heaven, which I think is the most important thing you can choose in a mate. Who will help me go to heaven? You know, maybe it's somebody that I convert today, but who is it that can help me go to heaven? And that's who I want to be around, and especially when you're talking about a person you're going to marry. I think if you get that right, I think the other things don't matter so much. Where I work and that kind of stuff doesn't matter so much. But if you're choosing to get married, I think if you choose the right person, somebody that's going to help you get to heaven, that they'll help you find the right job. They'll support you in whatever job you have, if that's what's important to you at that time. And I've never really been, and I shouldn't, this is kind of ironic to say it, I've never really been a person that felt like, well, there's only one person out there for you. I think there's only one right kind of person out there for you, but it could be a lot of people. So make a good choice in who you're dating, because that's who you're going to marry, someone that you're dating. It needs to be the right person that can help you go to heaven. And really, probably something I'm looking at right now that I'm trying to live my life like, but also challenge my students and my kids to live their lives like, is something I've been seeing on Facebook more and more. And that is, if you're not putting in the work every day, you're not going to grow from it. And that, you know, we're talking about getting your studies in college or a relationship or a ball team. If you're trying to become a great ball team or just, you know, be a better person, you take care of the little things every day. And if I can give advice to anybody that's 18 to 20, it's this: take care of the little things every day. And in the end, the big things will add up for you.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And you know, going back to just kind of the relationship marriage deal, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning, where I think some of us are very focused on our career, so much so that we neglect these things that in the end will last throughout our lives. Things like our relationships and our families and starting families and getting married. You know, you hear so much, I've got to have everything in order. I've got to have this much amount of money. I've got to have my degree completed. And that's okay. I see where they're coming from. I really do. But I think that we can just become so focused on external things and our possessions and our jobs that we forget that relationships with others and our relationship with God is ultimately what's going to be more rewarding in our lives than climbing the corporate ladder, you know, becoming the best lawyer, the best doctor, whatever that might be.
Right. And I think, I mean, you have to ask yourself this, irregardless of what I do for a profession, whatever my job is, if my lives go as planned or normally like they should, the person I marry, I'm going to spend a whole lot more time with than where I work. So you have to get that right before you get your job right. I mean, I don't really think it matters. I mean, obviously you have to pay your bills and stuff like that, but those are important. They should be important even for a Christian. They're important to make sure you can pay your bills. But if you don't have your relationship right, it's going to be really hard to pay your bills, honestly, because you're going to struggle just being happy. And which I think leads to ultimately, what is your goal? Is it to be a millionaire? Is it to, you know, to be the big wig at a, you know, at a whatever, at a company, whatever? Or is it to be the most successful coach that you know, whatever? Or is it to go to heaven? Ultimately, what is your question?
Yeah, and our relationships can, kind of like what you were saying, can help you do that. And it's important to surround ourselves with those kinds of people. And that goes for, not just marriage, but also being a part of a church family as well, right?
Exactly. Especially when it comes to being part of a church family, because it's real easy to hurt the people you're closest to. And yet God tells us that's who we love first, and if we're built upon like the first church was in the first century, we're at the beck and call of each other. We're there to help each other at all times. So we have to love each other first before anybody else will want to be a part of us. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a great conversation. Thanks for coming on the show.
Man, I've loved it. Thank you, Tyler.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. This podcast is in partnership with Ministry League. You can check out all of the resources Ministry League has to offer by hopping on any social media platform, YouTube page, or by downloading their app. This is the last episode on our series titled Shine Your Light. Be sure to tune in next week as we begin a new series about the lies we tell ourselves. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give us a follow and share it with a friend if you think they would benefit from it. Thanks for listening to another edition of Road Trips. We'll be back next week.